Just when we thought that the world couldn't get any worse, last week we were shocked by the awfully gruesome killing of this Jordanian pilot at the hands of the ISIS militants. It was just gruesome. They put him in a cage and burnt him alive. We have seen brutality, but acts like these just defy our imagination. Or take, for instance, the indiscriminate killing of about 2,000 men, women, and children by the Boko Haram militants in northeast Nigeria. They just came into the town and they just ravaged the place, killing men, women, and children indiscriminately. Besides these tragedies, last week we heard about the plane that went down in Taiwan. About 30 people were killed. Last year, about 2.6 million children died of hunger-related causes. Last week, someone I know very dearly was diagnosed with cancer. There's a lot of suffering in the world. Perhaps in your own lives there have been moments of hopelessness and despair and frustration. Sometimes innocent children suffer. We remember Mia going through the surgery for, she was in the hospital for so long. Suffering is crazy. It hurts. The book of Job, from which today's first reading is taken, is a part of the Bible we know as the wisdom literature. So that's the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. There are the historical books, there are the prophetic books, and then there are the wisdom books. The wisdom tradition in the Hebrew Bible tries to deal with the mysteries of life. And there is no mystery as confounding as the problem of suffering, especially the suffering of the innocent. There's just no way to grapple with it. Even Job's deepest questioning about his suffering does not lead to a satisfactory answer. What does Job say in the end? This is what he says. He says to God, "I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be hindered. I have dealt with great things that I do not understand. Things too wonderful for me which I cannot know." That's all he can say at the end of his experience of suffering. Folks, for me, the most unnerving and yet attractive reality about the Judeo-Christian tradition is its vulnerability in the face of suffering. Christianity, in particular, does not pretend to answer the question of suffering. Does not pretend to. In fact, it has no defenses against the problem of suffering. If someone asks you, or someone asks a Christian, "Why does your loving God allow suffering?" we really have no answer. And perhaps the answer really is that there is no answer to the question of suffering. Christianity is brutally honest about the fact that in the face of suffering, we are left without answers. So even as we honestly admit that we do not have an answer to the question of suffering, we are not left without some assurances. It's not that we are left hopeless. I just want to offer 3 points for us to think about. These are not really practical implications, but things that might help us to grapple with the idea of suffering if not given answer. First of all, I want to talk about the whole question of solidarity in suffering. So painful as it may seem, can you recall a moment in your life where you endured suffering? Think about a time when you were in pain or you were hurting. And now, may I ask you to recall the person who stood by you in the face of suffering. Was there some person who was very loyal to you, kind to you, stood by you, helped you? The bright spot in suffering is that while enduring suffering, we may discover true friends. As I look back in my life, and believe me, I've had my share, I can clearly see those people who truly were the best support and expressed solidarity with me. And I'm sure this might be the case with you as well. In fact, solidarity is the antidote to suffering. God's answer to human suffering is solidarity. The image of Jesus in today's gospel reading, Jesus reaching out to Simon's mother-in-law and grasping her hand and lifting her up, it's a great analogy for what God does in times of suffering. That evening when Jesus visited Peter's home, today's gospel says, the whole town was gathered at the door. Basically meaning that, yes, there is suffering. And is there an answer? Perhaps not. The only comforting aspect is that God is in our midst. God has come down to show solidarity with the suffering humanity, with our condition. Like a good friend who stands by us in time of need, God is with us now. In solidarity, God embraces our suffering. And so if people ask me about God and suffering, the only thing I can boldly do is to point towards the cross. That is the only answer, if it is an answer. God is one with us in our suffering, like a good friend. Secondly, I want to talk about suffering and compassion. There is a verse in today's second reading, which even though Paul uses in a very different context, is powerful and can be applied in the context of suffering. Paul says, to the weak I became weak to win over the weak. I have become all things to all to save at least some. All this I do for the sake of the gospel, so that I too may have a share in it. Let me explain what I mean by Paul saying, I have become all things to all people. Perhaps most of you followed Pope Francis's visit to the Philippines. I'm sure you saw images on television of Pope Francis. And one of the most poignant images was the Pope visiting the storm-ravaged Tacloban, wearing a cheap plastic raincoat like everyone else, wasn't anything special. Even as this place was awaiting another storm, And with the rain on his face and the wind blowing, he said mass for the people. He barely, before the storm came, he escaped from there. This image is so powerful. Pope Francis has popularized two words that have almost become common currency now: mercy and compassion. And the Pope, being in that storm-ravaged place in the midst of all the suffering people, just like being like one of them, that's the meaning of compassion. Compassion means to suffer with. Compassion means to suffer with the people. However, it is suffering that elicits compassion. If there was no suffering, if there was no pain, if there was no hurt, we would not know the meaning of compassion, of mercy, of kindness, of undying love, of holiness. Yes, it is true, there is no answer to the problem of suffering, yet suffering has the capacity to elicit the best in humanity. It can bring out the worst too. But suffering has the capacity to bring out the best in us. Suffering nudges us to a higher calling. And the cross of Jesus Christ is a testimony to that fact. I want to return to the theme of solidarity, yet not in the context of God's solidarity with us, but our solidarity with those in pain. I'm not sure how eagerly you followed this news, but for me, the news that Pope Francis has declared Archbishop Romero of El Salvador to be a martyr and finally clearing the way for his beatification, for me is great news. Archbishop Romero was the Archbishop of San Salvador, where there was widespread economic oppression and gross human rights violations. Now, there is a movie by the name of Romero. If you get the chance, please see it. And maybe you should not watch it with children, but it's just a real life story of Archbishop Romero. And the movie is simply called Romero. See his life to understand how terrific his role in El Salvador and in fact in the whole world is. In the beginning, Romero was a mere spectator to the injustice endured by his brothers and sisters. But as the social injustice increased, he then just dove right into the middle of all the injustice, and he became one with these people. He expressed his solidarity with them, so much so that one day as he was celebrating the Mass, and during consecration, as he had just lifted the chalice, he was shot to death right on the altar. People tell us that his blood mingled with the wine in the chalice, as if his blood and the blood of Christ had become one. He wrote a book entitled The Violence of Love. And he writes, "For the church, the many abuses of human life, liberty, and dignity are a heartfelt suffering. The church, entrusted with the earth's glory, believes that each person is the Creator's image and that everyone who tramples it offends God. As holy defender of God's rights and of his images, the church must cry out." Well, this was the context of economic injustice and social injustice and oppression. And here is the pastor of this archdiocese who expresses his solidarity with the suffering people like God does. Now, perhaps not every one of you and I are called to be Romero, but surely, like Romero, we can show solidarity with the suffering. Even though we are a suffering people, we can show solidarity with the suffering. If we think that hunger in the world is a scandal against God, then let us feed the hungry. If we think that cancer shows God's indifference, then in God's name, let us offer comfort to those in need. If we think that there is too much violence in the world, then at least let us be peace. The answer to suffering in the world in many ways is actually you and I. It's you and I going in the name of the crucified Christ and showing solidarity with those in pain. The best antidote to suffering is a compassionate heart that beats like the heart of Jesus. In the Eucharist, I believe that Christ, who has become one with us and shows solidarity with us on the cross, continues to be with us. Really, Christ in this Eucharist today comes to us and offers himself to us in solidarity. And who knows what our condition is? Each one of us in some way hurts. Each one of us in some way is in pain. All of us are in sin. And yet Christ comes to us, just like he came to the town and he grasped Peter's mother-in-law's hand and lifted her up. Christ today shows solidarity with us and lifts us up. May we find peace in Christ's presence with us. May we find hope. And having found that peace and comfort and hope, may we offer the same solidarity with those in pain. People of God said.